Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, TikTok, Snapchat, FaceTime, WhatsApp, YouTube, Instagram, social media.
Michelle Williams, for those who haven't seen me before, and I'm going to invite my panel up today. So our first panelist is Sister Kathy Boyle. I want everyone to put a hand together because this is our own Ipsy folks. Then we have Miss Ebony Fabre. Miss Aisha Hunt. Sister Brittany King. You're right here, sister. Miss Lauren Mills. And Sister Daniela Rivas Balata. You're over there. All right, so let's get one more hand for our panel. All right, today we're going to be talking about spirituality in the age of social media, hashtag your faith. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, and as we think on these things, thank you for all the support of those who made these words and this program possible today. We humbly ask your presence and blessing. Open our hearts and our minds to hear you. Amen. Amen. All right. So today, we want to discuss social media, the culture that we are living in today. And I'm going to sit a little while, if you don't mind. Because while we can't wish away or ignore the existence of social media, we have to figure how we can navigate the path of Christ in this digital world that we live in. So our hypothesis today is there are ways to use social media without forfeiting our souls if we are guided by the biblical principles of the digital world. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. So what's social media? So this is what the Oxford Dictionary says. Social media defined as websites and applications or apps, so I'm sure most of you have heard of apps, designed to allow people to share content quickly, efficiently, and in real time. So I want you to pay attention to the two words that are key here, share and real time, so others are seeing what you're giving out. In other words, it's the ability to share photos, opinions, events, and etc. in real time, and it has transformed the way we live and also the way we do business. All right, so these are the statistics. According to the Pew Research Center, 67% of 10-year-olds in the United States, they have a mobile phone, a laptop, and or a desktop computer. 78% of US teens text daily. Among girls, it's 77%, so it's actually a little higher for girls. Wow. And then 47% of US children or teens, they own smartphones, which means it permits them to visit social networking sites. And that's why there's a lot in existence now, a lot of people who are developing methods where you can track your children's phone or block certain websites from them from seeing, because once they have a smartphone, they have that access. So, I like this quote when I was reading up on the subject for today. Deepak Chopra, he He had this quote where he says, we cannot stop the progress of our technology. It is unstoppable. It's an unstoppable force. So what we do is we harness it for good. So the truth is, we're a first world society. So technology's here, and it's here to stay. There's really nothing we can do about that. On the one hand, the internet and social media, it's like a double-edged sword. So it offers good, where you can do good things. You can be in touch with friends and family. You can look for, if you want to buy something, you can find out people's comments and if it's a good product or not. All these kinds of things. But on the other hand, it's a way where breaks down interpersonal intimacy between people. So that person-to-person contact, it's often removed from the way we interact. Also, it allows people to put negative opinions out more easily because there's no one that's really monitoring that. And so oftentimes you find yourself, a lot of people get into disagreements with others, not from a face-to-face interaction, but from something that they've put online that offends someone. So, I think I pressed that too fast. So we're gonna move to our panelists. I have some questions for them here today. I'm gonna ask Sister Boyle first, since Sister Boyle is probably the only person on this stage, I think myself included, but we're different generations, but.
You're not. Sister,
Sister Boyle is probably the only person that, when she was growing up, there was no existence I don't believe they had smartphones. So I was wrong for smartphones, but social media came as I think I was like a teenager or something. So for those who don't know the different generations, let me just tell you. So they have the silent generation, which I think it's like back for like 80-year-old and higher. And then we have the baby boomers, which is the generation a little younger than that. Then you have the Gen X generation, which is most people like in their 40s, 50s. And then we have the millennials, which I think everyone knows about. And then we have the Gen Z, which is like Ebony, my kids, and so on. They're mostly like teenagers now. So I know a lot of times there are disagreements between generations. And the big thing now, if you track social media, you'll see boomers, they call baby boomers boomers, and the millennials, they're often disagreeing on different things. So I remember one day I asked my daughter, Samaria, I said, so how come it's always the boomers and the millennials disagreeing? I never see them mention anything about Gen X. So she told me Gen X is the cool generation. So I thought, well, that might be appropriate for me to since I'm the cool generation. All right, so my first question to Sister Boyle is, why did you start using social media, and then do you still use it for that same purpose?
Well, first of all, I didn't sign myself up for social media. My daughter did that. Mm-hmm. And she did it so I could see the children because they were out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I couldn't see them. So originally, the thing that I enjoyed the most about Facebook, which is really the only one that I'm on, was to see my children, my grandchildren, all over and what they were doing. Over the years, it's amazing. I didn't realize at the time I went on social media that I could search out people to find them and put them on my page. So over the years, it's developed that I am now in very close touch with a lot of my family that I usually only saw about once a year. So mm-hmm. Now I get to see what they're doing all the time. I have several of my students from Ghana, which was back in 2005, that are on website with me. I've reconnected with a lot of my high school friends, and of course, my favorite, my veterans. And the nice thing about the veterans, I think when I first went on, I used social media as a social outlet to be close with everyone. But today, I can use it actually as a prayer source because when my veterans are having any problem at all, they'll post them on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, like I have one right now that's in the hospital. You can pray for Derry. He's doing well. But I always know when they have a problem, so I can call or, you know, if there's a death in their family or if they've fallen and broken a foot or whatever, mm-hmm. I can always get in touch with them. So that primarily is what I enjoy the most of it right now.
Okay. So by a show of hands, I should have asked this earlier, how many people in the congregation use social media? Oh, wow. So practically everyone. So social media and the issue of our time. So if we spend 1 hour per day on social media for the whole year, we will spend over 2 weeks of our year consuming digital content. That's just the statistics as they are right now. So often people stop and think, am I being productive by using this? Like, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing it? Should I be doing other things instead? But the more fundamental issue is, how does our social media fit in our lives to help make us better disciples of Christ? So that's the question we want to look and think about as we move through this program. So moving to another question, I'm going to go to Aisha, Sister Hunt here. What are some positive ways to use social media? Like, what are positive ways you've used social media for?
I use it to connect with people. For me, I'm actually an introvert, and I come alive on the internet. So positive ways are just to connect with people. You can actually, whatever you're dealing with on the inside, you can find people that are like-minded and connect with them that way. You can just reach out to others. For me, I've just used it. I started getting on social media when I went to college, and I made a lot of friends that way. I can keep in touch with my friends from college, some of my best friends I've known them for 10 years. I may not see them in person, but I've been keeping up with them as if we're still roommates in college, and we can connect back and forth. I can share just different things about my life, which I'm not the type to overshare, but I come alive on the internet where I can kind of express myself and just, that's pretty much it.
So how many people use social media to connect with, like, friends? Very few people actually have raised their hands. So for me, it was really useful when I started using social media. I don't use it aggressively. I have to use Twitter as part of my work. Like, I had to form a work account, and I do, like, professional things online. But when I started at first, for me, it was really fascinating to be able to connect with people like I went to high school with, who I would have never been able to be in touch with, because they're living in different countries and so on. So for me, that was really fascinating. But despite the positive of social media, we have to be aware of what problems do exist. So remember, I talked about that double-edged sword. So be aware of the problems. So number one, the issue of privacy. So there are indeed major problems with big tech that has led to some people deciding it's time to pull the plug on social media. So some people shut down their account altogether and decide they don't want to be a part of social media anymore because they realize how much information big tech companies are actually collecting on them. So for example, you might be looking, this has happened to me before, like you were perhaps looking at something online that you like, a dress or something to buy for your home or something like that. And then you might go back on your computer a little while later and realize something similar to that pops up automatically. For example, in the morning I get up, I take my kids to school, I go to work. Like, I have a schedule. On Saturdays we get up, we shower, we come to church. What I've realized is if I put my GPS on, it automatically tells me to get to Ypsilanti SDA Church. It takes so much. So therefore, this information is being collected. These patterns are being collected. Even though my kids say, Mommy, you just have to take off your geo tracker. You know, but if you don't know these things, if you don't have a teenager who knows these things, this is being tracked automatically by big tech companies. They're tracking this information because they use it to promote products. You know, people buy your information because they want to, like, target you. So there's a lot of target marketing going on. The other problem, I'm going on to a panelist question. So I am going to ask this of Lauren and Abney, so you guys can answer separately, of course. So the first question to you, Lauren, what is the most problematic post that you've seen on social media. And I'm going to have you pull the mic a little closer to you.
I've seen a lot. I really don't know how to pinpoint the most problematic thing that I've seen. It might get a little graphic. People share X-rated things. People share very blaspheme. People blaspheme God. People are mean, just in general. There's a lot of problematic things, racist things, very mean things in general. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. I don't think there's like one most problematic post, but I think like for me being in high school, a lot of kids like talk about each other on social media or bully each other, and cyberbullying is like really big for us right now, and it can lead to bigger problems like suicidal thoughts and things like that.
Yeah. So the two of you, they're the youngest on the panel, so I want to ask you guys, what do you wish happened less on social media?
I just wish people were more positive overall, because like I said before, people get bullied and made fun of, and it's just, it's not fun. It's not good to look at. When people go on social media, they usually want to see something positive and not necessarily something negative.
I suppose I wish people didn't feel as though they had as much power as they feel when they get on social media. I wish people didn't feel as though they could say whatever it is they want, but they can. So, like you said, there's no real policing on social media unless, I don't know, there's like rules on saying like homophobic things or like really, really, really racist things, and then they might like suspend your account or something. But there's no like, there's no policing on, I could DM you and like say whatever to you. I could text you, say whatever. That's what direct messaging is for. That's what, another thing is screenshotting. That is,
it's like a new
that
thing.
Is, that is the devil. And it's not, and it's not social media, it's anything. If you have an iPhone or any smartphone, you can take a screenshot of whatever it is that you want and send it to whoever. So that could be on social media, it could be wherever else, but it's just a thing, yeah, it's just a thing of being smart as to who you send things to, because you cannot trust people on the internet.
And you kind of take
nice
it back.
They are.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I wanted the audience participation, so I'm going to ask some brave person if they can stand up and say, tell me, what do you wish you saw, what you wish happened less on social media? Sister Mills? Yeah. Isaac? Oh. We have Isaac.
I just wish there was less cyberbullying on the internet, because I've known like people that block other people because of something that happened, and then they just talk trash about them on social media, like about some of my friends and whatnot.
All right. Anyone else? All right, so we're going to move along. Talking, one more,
I was going to say that I wish the fake news would not be allowed on social media, because it's really influencing people's thoughts politically and in all manner of other arenas. I wish if it's not factual, that it just cannot be put out there. I know we have free speech, but if someone's presenting something as news and as fact, that it shouldn't be allowed if it isn't.
Right.
Anyone else?
All right.
Wait, here's one more.
I thought you were saying something.
No, they named me to go around with them.
Okay.
One of the things that that people have something productive to say on social media, for me it's like You don't have anything to do. I saw what you looked like 15 minutes ago. Why do I need to see a picture of you 10 minutes later? You know? And I don't know, sometimes I have to call Lisa. How do I block certain things? Because I think it's a waste. I don't go on Facebook or whatever it is a lot. But when I do, I find that I waste time. Mm-hmm. And I have to ask myself, am I willing to spend this amount of time on trash? Well, I'm sorry, a lot of it is not trash. But am I willing to invest this amount of time in my own personal spiritual life? Mm-hmm. Because when I go on, somebody will say, did you see such and such on Facebook? And I go on, and 2 hours later, I have wasted 2 hours of my life on something that I could have done to better myself. And I really don't like, you know, the people putting their personal lives on Facebook. Yes. Mm-hmm. If you want me to pray for you, yes. If you want me to, you know, pray for your child or get involved in something productive, yes. But please keep your personal lives, especially as Christians, off of Facebook.
Amen.
Because guess what? I have a family member called me last night that said, what in the name of heavens is going on? Da, da, da. Isn't that person a church person? Why are they dressed like that? This is in your church? Why are they behaving like that? So we have to be careful with the influence that we have and the message we're sharing about our God on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram.
And that's a perfect segue into the next thing. So the other problem is that social media, it can bring out the worst in us. So when people Instagram a group shot from an event that they were at, and you didn't make that event, oftentimes people get kind of jealous, and they're like, oh, they were there, and like they want to make some kind of negative comment because they feel like, oh, I was left out of this thing. Or for example, and this is a popular one, when people do that kind of humble brag, like, oh, praise God for giving me XYZ, and they're kind of giving themselves the praise and not God really. So, you know, we call it like a humble brag, and then you know you're looking at it, and this is how you're feeling, like envious and jealous of, you're seeing the best of others, and instead of perhaps like lifting them up and being happy for them, instead you're feeling jealous, like, oh, they got a new car, like a BMW or whatever, and I have to drive whatever it is. And so you start to feel this kind of envious way about it. So it brings out really the worst in us instead of when we see the best in others. So the other panelist question I have is for Daniela, what do you wish happened more on social media? So just now it was less. So what do you wish happened more on social media?
So so I feel like, because when I started using social media, I used it to communicate with my family back home. But now, a lot of people used to do this, like, you know, use social media to talk to their family in other countries because they didn't have, you know, internet or anything. But now it's like everything is so negative that you don't feel like going to social media anymore. So I feel like we should have more positive thoughts in there, like putting more positive message, like talking about God or talking about, I don't know, what is happening in the world, but things that we should change in the world. Like environmental health or what is happening in the environment, I feel like that's what we should put on social media because things are happening and we're not even noticing because we're just focusing on someone else's life, you know? So I think that's what we should put on social media.
Right, exactly. So instead of being like low-key braggadocious, we can actually put positive things. The other problem we should be aware of, and we talked a little bit about this, is that social media can be a distraction. I mean, it can be a distraction from valuable things in your life. I mean, how many of you have gone out and seen like a family, perhaps a dinner or something, and everybody is on their phone instead of talking to each other? Or for example, I remember recently I was near the Washtenaw County Health Department, and there's like this playground, and there was a parent there with their kid and they were pushing them on the swing, and they're pushing them on the swing, but their hand, they're like looking on their phone and doing something instead of like to this pushing. And I was hoping like the swing didn't go too high and it fell off the swing. Because they were like paying attention to their phone instead of actually paying attention to the child and being involved in that parent-child interaction. So the other thing is, when we were in church, because of technology, you have the ability to have the Bible, you have the ability to have the hymnal, you have the ability to have all these different things on your phones. But what happens when you're on your phone, and if you don't have the filter on, or you don't know there's something that you can put in place that can block these alerts that you're getting? So what happens? You might be reading, following along, a scripture lesson or something, and then something pops up on your phone like, oh, this person posted something and posted something on Twitter. Before you know it, you like click on that and you're looking at it, and suddenly you're distracted from the message of what's going on. Or someone might text you, oh, did you see so-and-so posted this? And then suddenly you're like totally distracted from what's going on. You don't even hear the message, or you don't even know what the scripture lesson is about anymore. So I mean, that's like one of the main problems. So I believe, I mean, and this is my opinion, that people should be allowed to worship in the way. Because, for example, there's a generation that this is what they grew up in. This is all they know. But we have to guide them in a way that they know to use that device. If they're in the house of worship, this is what they should be paying attention to, and not be distracted looking at a picture, Instagramming somebody, or somebody, if somebody alerts them, you know, things like that. So we have, because we can't say, don't use it at all. That doesn't make sense. It exists. But we have to teach them and show them ways that they can use it that is a benefit. Amen. So moving on to another panelist question. This one's for Brittany. So what are some strategies you use or would suggest to manage your social media intake?
Well, so one of the tools I sometimes use is giving myself like a certain amount of time on social media. Oops, sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So giving myself, especially like when I'm doing homework, because like Aunt Natalie said, you can be on social media for what you think is, 10, 15 minutes, and then 2 hours goes by. So I like to give myself sometimes an hour to just dedicate that time to do what I want to do on social media, and then I have to put in the time to do whatever else I'm doing. So I think it's all about moderation, and at least giving yourself instead of just trying to take it away completely. Because then you're going to be thinking about it anyways. So.
Right.
That would be one of the strategies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how you manage it. I mean, I think a lot of people fast, especially, you know, we're Christians, so we fast sometimes from some kinds of food, or we might fast from all food, like until 6 o'clock in the evening. Like, we do fast as part of our spiritual life. So you can do the same with social media. You can have social media fast, just like you do it in the other aspects of your life. So, and that helps you manage it. All right, so Sister Boyle, how would you compare, so you have the unique perspective of being able to compare the before and after. So how would you compare connecting on social media to connecting in person?
Personally, I don't think there is any comparison. I think person to person is the only way you ever truly affect anyone. I don't think when you're on social media, everyone already has their own opinion of things. And I don't think that anything you post on social media is going to change anyone's mind, right? But I do believe that sometime if you sit down with someone, person to person, and it's someone that you trust and they trust you and you care about each other, then you have an opportunity to have an impact on them. You have an opportunity to explain to them how God works in your life. Whereas if you try to do that on social media, you're going to get feedback from, well, I don't believe this or I don't believe that, you know, and understandably so. But when you're doing person to person, the connection is entirely different. Mm-hmm. I like social media. It keeps me very close to some very special people that, as you said, in foreign countries, et cetera. But if I want to connect with them on a personal level, I'll either give them a call or I'll write them a letter. Anybody do that anymore? I do. So, you're right. The first computer I ever touched, I was 39 years old. Yeah. So it's, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, for people who have teenagers, they probably know that a lot of times it's you hear from them faster if you text them than if you call them on the phone.
Yep.
That happens all the time to me. And I said, why didn't you answer your phone? You texted me back right away when I texted you. Oh, I didn't hear my phone. Well, but you texted me back right. So this is how they communicate with their thumbs all the time.
Can I say one other thing?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a 22-year-old living with me right now for a few months. And one of the things I've noticed is that her emotions go up and down depending on what she's seeing on social media. I can't tell you the number of times that she's come home from work in one spirit, goes downstairs, gets on social media, and comes up with tears in her eyes or emotional, even the other way, mm-hmm. super excited about. I think it's dangerous to some extent.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay, so I do disagree with there not being a comparison between face-to-face communication and communicating on social media. Mm-hmm. Reason being is because, so there's a concept, well, not really a concept, there's a thing called being a social media influencer. Mm-hmm. So large companies, they seek out people with large follower accounts. And if you have a lot of followers, it means you have the potential for influence because mm-hmm. people are looking at you constantly
yes.
on their phones for however long, and whatever you are posting is influencing them mm-hmm. by default.
Yes.
Now, whether you have a lot of followers or you have like a close-knit group of people on Facebook or whatever that listen to you and you guys go back and forth or whatever about whatever subject, you have the potential for influence. And I've seen people say that, oh, this person said or posted influenced me or really touched me in such and such mm-hmm. way. Or like YouTube, people have a lot of subscribers on YouTube, they post content and their subscribers or their fans or whatever say, what you posted lifted me up out of this rut. And this made me feel good today because everything was trash today. Now, is that communication? It is in a way. You can have like a close communication on social media if you have no other option. I will mm-hmm. say that.
Yeah,
you have
true.
No other option. You
Very
can
true.
Be close. I don't think that it replaces face-to-face.
Right.
But it can be like a stand-in. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So this is the final, because we have to look at the time. It's 12:30, and I don't want anyone, we have lunch afterwards, and I don't want to keep you guys. So what impact do you think social media can have on your time with God? And I'm going to have each of you respond to this. So just very briefly. So Abani, you can start.
I think that it depends on like the impact that social media can have on God depends on what you do on social media. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I'm just talking to my friends or I'm looking at what they're doing, and sometimes I might spend way too much time when that time could have been spent to like do my devotion and read mm-hmm. my Bible.
Mm-hmm. Kind of piggybacking on Abby, it really depends on who you follow. So mm-hmm. It depends on who you're connecting with. A lot of my friends post a lot of like devotionals or like uplifting quotes or whatever, which you can need some days when you just don't feel like reading the Bible, because it happens. You're not doing anything else, and it just pops up when you need it. So it depends.
Well, I'm gonna join the crew and say it depends, because it definitely does depend on what you're going for. Like, there are times when I save posts that I'll look at later that are inspirational or that are, you know, if I know I'm going to be going through something, I'm going to save something for later and then look at it. I mm-hmm. think that can be extremely positive. And even being able to share with other people your experiences, and you don't know who else is going through the same thing that you are. Right. So I think it definitely depends on, you know, what type of following you have, mm-hmm. who you're following, what type of posts you like to look at. Mm-hmm. So.
I think for me, as you said, I haven't had social media all my life. I think we have to have special time with Christ totally apart from anything on social mm-hmm. media, and that I find myself often even praying when I'm on social media for someone that I'm seeing something that I didn't agree with or whatever, you mm-hmm. know. So I think your heart has to be with Him, and then it won't really matter a great deal what mm-hmm. happens on social media.
I believe social media, so what impact do you think social media can have on your time with God? I think it can have whatever impact you want it to have mm-hmm. on your time with God. Be intentional about who you interact with, who you follow, and just as you do in real life, you won't talk to people that bring you down. Mm-hmm. You won't engage with people that don't share like-minded things with you. Just be mindful of that. So whatever you want out of your relationship with God, if you're not getting it, just take a self-inventory and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I agree with you on the fact that you're the one who makes the decision, because many times people can send you a message from God like, hey, Jesus is this, but you don't read it. It's like you just see a message from God, but you don't read it just because you think it's too long or it will be too much for you to read. And we have to be honest. Sometimes you just see the image of God, we're like, okay, I'll read it later. But we never do. Mm-hmm. So, and usually we have an app on our phone that is the Bible, but many times we go into the app and then the message comes out. And it's talking about something that happened at work and just immediately just go there. So everything is depends on you. And we have a Bible, we have books that we can read, but we don't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So we've heard about the issues of social media, the challenges we face to manage our time around it, and how we develop a social relationship with God in this context. But if we really think about it, is the real problem actually social media? No. Which is just came out from the panel. The real problem is you and me. That's really the problem. So social media has weaponized the way that Satan battles for her souls. It incubates, it accelerates, magnifies our appetite, and in ways that are deeply deceptive. So I saw this quote, which it said, you have a Genesis 3 mind, and you're living in a Romans 1 digital world. So I want us to read Genesis 3 together. So when we think about our heart, it's saying you have this Genesis 3 heart. So let's read Genesis 3:1 together. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God hath said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So we are being tempted by the serpent. So this is what's in our hearts, Genesis 3. But if we are living in a Romans 1 digital world, in which everyone just said, we should remain a servant of God, even though we are living in this Genesis, this digital world. So let's repeat Romans 1:1 together. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So even though we are using these tools that are here in this first world that we are living in, we should be using it still in the context of being a servant of God. So what does social media reveal? It reveals the root issues about our hearts, We are what we tweet. Social media can bring about the best in our hearts as we celebrate what God is doing around the world, but it can also reveal envy, pettiness, snark, and all kinds of bad things about ourselves, really. It's not about the social media. It's about you and how you use it. So the danger for all of us is to manage our digital engagement without digging into the, in a way that digs into the deeper issues of our heart and make sure we're doing it in the right way. So let go of those humble brags. Social media also reveals the root issues about our motives. So we start with good intentions and then we get undisciplined over time. And then because we can't resist the appeal, and then we become ashamed at these patterns, and then we go on this crash diet to try and correct the problem back to normal. Who thinks that a crash diet actually works?
No,
because I mean, it doesn't work when you do that for like food, so why would it work for social media or
whatever digital content you have an intake of?
So Colossians 2:23 warns us about the approaches that have the appearance of wisdom in addressing an issue, but they're are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So too often we can overreact to troubling trends in our social media and use solutions that have the appearance of wisdom, but are of no value in addressing what's really in our heart. So I'm going to ask another congregation's question, and I'm going to have Sister Mills, because she and I had a discussion when we were talking about this topic, and I like what she talked about and what she does on a daily basis, and I know that for a fact, because my mom, who lives in Guyana, she always talks about how Sister Mills always sends her the most uplifting things every morning, and it really, sometimes if she wakes up and she does her devotion, even afterwards during the day, something brings her down, she sees Sister Mills' text, whatever post that she sent to her, and she feels so uplifted. So I'm going to ask you to start, and then we can take two from the congregation. What are some ways you have deepened your relationships using social media?
Well, as many of you know, that's friends of mine on Facebook. I use it for my devotional. I get up at 3:30 every morning, and in the quietness of the morning, that's when I do my devotional. Mm-hmm. What people may not know that read is some things are on my mind, some things are on my heart when I get up in the morning. And you're right, when I do my devotionals in the morning, I get so many people responding, saying thank you, I needed that this mm-hmm. morning. But what they don't know, and I tell some of them, is you're very welcome, but I put it on there because I needed it mm-hmm. this morning. And so I that's why I mainly use Facebook, because the Lord has told us to go out into the world and preach the gospel and the good news for him. We don't have to physically go. That's one good thing about social media, because I have friends all over that I never see in person, but I talk to, and I give them a word, and I try to uplift them when I know that their hearts are heavy. Also, social media is good for helping people. If you go on there, a lot of times you'll see where there's people that's in need, families that's in need of food, clothing, don't have a place to lay their head. That's an opportunity for us to help, to do what Christ has done, is to help others. So I do go through my friends list. Some things are really funny, and I'll laugh at them, because they have funny stuff on there, too. But there's things on there that I feel that should be banned, and they're not banned. And that's why the devil has his way with some people. Mm-hmm. If Jesus doesn't have your mind, guess who has it?
Yeah.
And so I try to keep my focus on the Lord all day, on social media, off of social media, and that's the way that I live. I try to live. No, I'm not perfect. Yes, I'm full of sin, like everybody else is, until Jesus cleans me up. Mm-hmm. But my focus is on getting right with him so that I'll be ready when he comes in the clouds of glory.
Amen.
That's what I want from my heart.
Amen. All right. So here are some ways to not use social media. So don't be solitaire. So solitaires are the people who abandon social media entirely without any concern for the good elements that we can miss out on, and that's not really a way of opportunity. Do not be slaves. Slaves to social media are the ones who embrace it indiscriminately, and so that's without any concern for how it's shaping their minds, how it's shaping their hearts, instead of using it to connect in a way that makes us disciples of Christ. So that's not the way of wisdom. So don't be solitaires, don't be slaves. Instead, we can be stewards of social media. So we can keep the gospel in the forefront of our minds as we engage the digital world and spread God's word. So today we focused on the challenges that we face to maintain and develop our relationship with God in today's age that is dominated by social media. Today our panelists, I want you guys to give them another round of applause. They've talked about some of the bizarre things that people do on social media. And some of it includes tweeting about the food that you're about to eat, ignoring the person sitting right next to you so that you can read other people's posts on social media, or post stuff about others on social media, sending messages to family and friends who are right next to me. And this picture, you go into a panic mode if you forget your phone at home. I mean, I've seen some people like freak out if they forget their phone at home or they left it somewhere and they can't get to communicate. And then also, this is a big one. You interact so much on social media, you forget how to interact with others in real life, and you get really worked up if someone's not posting on social media because you don't know any other way how to interact with them. Like, you don't give them a phone call or anything like that. Your only way of connecting with them is through social media. Some of the other things is like people like their own posts even if no one else did. I mean, how vain is that? Meeting someone for the first time, then later going to Facebook or some other social media and checking that person out to see like their background. That's like stalking in a way, like digital stalking. And then in the middle of a crisis, instead of you like praying or something first, the first thing you do is post on social media. I mean, people stop. Like, they're in the middle of something really bad going on, and what they do, the first thing they do is they post it on social media before calling for help. And then, of course, if your phone breaks, life comes to a total standstill. So you're so busy posting and having so much fun about, like, you know, you're in the park with your kids, and I mentioned this before, you're so busy posting and having fun that you're not even interacting and having fun in the park with your kids. But the good news is there are positive ways to use social media. So keeping in touch with friends and family who live abroad. Students get answers to educational questions easily. So that's really useful, especially when you're in school. There is a greater access to free tutorials and webinars to improve your skills. So there are a lot of online classes, which are really helpful. People get a platform to raise their voices, which allows injustice for weaker citizens to come out into the open. So that's really useful. And that's, I think that platform is really, really useful for that. So other positive ways, we have greater access to charitable organizations. Many of them, they're online, so you can gift to them or help them if they need volunteers, for example. We become aware of hot issues that are affecting our society, whether it's social, political, coronavirus comes to mind, for example. Like, you can follow, like, the CDC, which is a credible source. There are sources that are not credible. You can follow that and get up to the minute information. So that's useful. And then some people it can be a source of income for many people. So Lauren talked about influencers. A lot of times they get products and stuff like that. They're able to advertise, or it can give them, if people subscribe, I think there's a way of getting some kind of income from it. Yes, exactly. So that's useful. And then it's vital feedback on the best items for online shopping. I know some people probably didn't hear anything else except online shopping. But yeah, so you might want to buy a product and you want to know, is it good or is it not good? And you go and you can see comments and see feedback, and it makes, you know, you're able to figure out if it's good or it's not good. But does the Bible give us any direction that we can use concerning the use of social media? What does the Bible say on this topic? So, of maintaining our spirituality in the present age of social media. Before we address this question, though, let's look at David in the Bible. He was a king and a prolific songwriter. His pieces of music can be found in the book of Psalms. And David is who I would refer to as the biblical tweeter. For almost every situation he faced, every circumstance that came his way, he wrote a song and got the congregation to sing about it. So before we make any abrupt conclusions about David, let's look closely at a few of his published posts. So when he was being chased by his son Absalom and his army to kill him and take over the kingdom, instead of gathering the opinions of his followers to gain their likes, David tweeted about it in Psalm 3. So let's read Psalm 3 together. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. And then when David experienced victory at war, he wrote a song, such as when he was saved from the warring Philistines from Saul, and that was in Psalm 18, where he says, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold in my distress. I called upon the Lord, to my God. I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He brought me out into the broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And then Psalm 60 is a combined documentary about various victories David had over his enemies. That included the Moabites, Syrians, the Philistines, the Ammonites, and the Edomites. So God has spoken in his holiness. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. So then when David committed murder and adultery after being confronted by the prophet Nathan, he wrote Psalm 51. So I bet you guys didn't know that there was so much tweeting going on in the Bible by David. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So, you know, David, everything, he would always write about it. in the Psalms. And then Psalm 30. So even though God had told David that he would not be the one to complete building his temple, he still wrote about it in Psalm 30. So that his son Solomon could use when the temple was dedicated. So he wrote about it, he made it there, and so his son was able to use it. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. So there's a lot more David tweeting in Psalms. So if you have time, you should sit and read through it thinking with this and with this context in mind. In all of them, there's a common theme. God is merciful, protective, sustaining, loving, patient, listening, momentarily angry, but God wants to make us happy forever. So David saw God in every event, in every situation, every day of his life. And in the good days, he saw God. In the bad days, he still saw God. And in the in-between days, he still saw God. So David's life, he made his life in such a way that it was entangled, intertwined, and interwoven, and devoted to God. So our use of social media. There is other biblical advice that we can use as we look for guidance on this issue of maintaining our spirituality in the age of social media. What is the biblical guidance? Philippians 4:8, so you heard the scripture lesson today. Let's read this together. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we can group this into two ways, things that are true and things that are positive. So this is our hypothesis from earlier. There are ways to use social media without forfeiting our souls if we are guided by the biblical principles of the digital world. So what is the first principle as told by Paul in Philippians? Focus on the truth. Look at the things that are true. First of all, Paul warns us to focus on things that are true instead of the things that are not. So all the fake news, put it aside. A lot of social media has distortions, it has lies, it has fallacies, and all these things are out there masquerading as the truth. So it is up to us not to get caught up in those fake stories or fake posts or people saying stuff about others and we don't clarify, we take it as the gospel truth and we go with it and we might make comments on it. And then we might end up offending someone and we get into a problem with someone just because we didn't seek the truth of what someone else posted or some story that we saw somewhere. So we must be careful that we are anchored into the one true source of truth, that is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And only Jesus will help us decipher the truth from error. So how often do you spend time with the source of truth? The other thing is, focus on the positive. In Philippians, Paul tells us that we should think about the things that are noble and lovely, and admirable and praiseworthy. In other words, we should turn away from dwelling on which is offensive. So our panelists talked about people posting X-rated stuff. We can block them, you know, not have that kind of thing show up on our stream. Move away from things that are negative. And of course, there are negative. If there are negative things, there are negative things that will happen to us. But we can choose not to complain about it, about our jobs or the amount of money that we're getting paid. Or instead, we can choose to make work fun and focus on God providing this job for us until he provides another one that gives us more or something like that. So always focus on the positive. We can choose to focus on that and how it can benefit others. And so this is our way of choosing to respond to our circumstances just like David did. Instead of seeing everything as a tragedy, see it as a challenge or an opportunity for you to do better, for you to get better. We can choose to focus on our inability or instead on God's great sufficiency, and it is our choice. We need to constantly remind ourselves of our choice. So the biblical principles of the digital world in 1 Corinthians 24 to 26, this is another place that you can go to find some of these principles. It says, "Do you not know that all those who run in a race run, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Everyone who strives for the prize exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. So therefore I run, not with uncertainty, so I fight, not as one who beats the air." And this is in 1 Corinthians 9. So know that he did not say walk or stroll or even jog. He said run. So Paul indicates that a runner exercises self-control in all things to obtain a corruptible crown, and we are an incorruptible crown, but we are striving for an incorruptible crown. We run with certainty. We don't fight by beating the air. We are effective, productive, and focused. Believers are not sprinters. They run for the long term. So it's all about our endurance. So let's wrap it up by looking at what the biblical principles of the digital world must include. And we'll go through these pretty quickly. Use your time wisely. Do not waste inordinate amounts of time on social networking. Be more productive, so use it to increase your productivity, spread positive words to others, teach, inform, and support. That should be inform, not infirm. And support others. Be truthful, block inappropriate content, and disagree respectfully. Do not bully. This is a big one, especially for our teenagers and young people that are coming up. Cyberbullying is really huge. Check your sources, because you always want to make sure you're getting the truth. And maintain biblical standards. Be Christ-like. Pray for others, spread the love of Christ. And like I said, be Christ-like at all times. That should be in our mind all the time. So social media, if used carefully, as with other things in our life, can be a benefit to us and to others. And we can use it to uplift, to give comfort, to give hope, to give advice, to point someone to Christ. But there's also a flip side to it. There's a saying that you should never go grocery shopping if you're hungry, because you end up spending a lot more money than you really intend to spend. Just like you should probably not stand up in a buffet line if you're feeling really hungry, because you're going to fill your plate up really big and you can't eat all the stuff that you have on your plate. So the same applies for our use of social media. Being discouraged or angry or grumpy or sad are generally not the best times to be on social media. You shouldn't be tweeting if you're in a bad mood, because you're tempted to say very negative or mean things to people or just lash out otherwise. That's the time when we normally jump to conclusions ahead of the facts. So I hope you get the idea. I don't want to be a negative thinker. I want to be a godly thinker. I don't want to suck the life out of a situation. I want to infuse life in people and the circumstances around me. And then you want to stand for that which is pure and not cave into that which is not. Choose the good, enjoy the beautiful, pursue the noble, and walk in God's peace. So, if you are to think about the modern Philippians 4:8, I want us to read it together. It would probably say something like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, tweet about such things. So thank you. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for the good gift of the internet, social media, through which we can create, communicate, learn, and glorify you. Thank you for the ways you have blessed our world, made our lives easier because of the internet. I praise you for giving the good gifts of creativity and work, and that we can reflect your image online. I pray that the gospel message would speed ahead through the internet and social media, proclaiming the glories of Christ, and reaching many in this generation with the saving message of Christ. I pray that you would help us to avoid technology's unintended consequences, like idolizing gadgets, using gadgets to feed other idols in our lives, or to keep us from relating to others you have called us to love. I humbly ask for you to grant us the right desires, not to build our own kingdom on the social media, but to build yours. Not to be a slave to sin, but to be a slave to righteousness. Not to have a lustful heart, but to flee from lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace from a pure heart. May our stewardship of resources point to the maker of all things, showing his wise and generous heart. May our time on the internet and social media cause us to have a deeper communion with the Holy Spirit and a deeper love for the written word and the word made flesh. In all things, may Christ become greater and maybe become less. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you to our panelists.